Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. This is your spoiler warning. If you haven't seen Spawn, the 1997 action fantasy CGI extravaganza, we do give away a lot of what happens in this movie. If one of us knows what happened, because it certainly is not me. I didn't understand this film. So I'm gonna try my best to give it away. But okay. There's a really good chance I won't be able to because I didn't understand it. Anyway, this is your spoiler warning. Enjoy the episode.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg and a bucket of chicken. I'm gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a weekly podcast where two idiots watch a film starring their favorite actor in the entire world, or equal favorite to Beth Grant.
Yeah.
Their favorite actor equal to Beth Grant.
Kathy Bates.
And Kathy Bates is up there as
Whoopi
well.
Whoopi Goldberg,
Beth Grant, John Leguizamo, Kathy Bates. Those are our top ones. We're two people, but John Leguizamo is the most underrated of them. Maybe Beth Grant.
Arguably is a bit more underrated.
Arguably Beth Grant is more underrated than John Leguizamo.
These guys keep talking, but I don't know who Beth Grant is and I'm too polite to interrupt.
Don't worry,
it's we didn't know who Beth Grant was either. When you recalibrate and make your life about John Leguizamo, that's when you start when John Leguizamo stops being the underappreciated person you notice in movies, then you start to notice Beth Grant.
What you probably don't understand is that you think that we're here to talk about Spawn, but the chances are we're probably going to spend about 85% talking about Beth Grant.
I would love to learn about Beth Grant.
We're going to tell you all
Spawn,
about it.
I've seen Spawn so many times. I'm sick of talking about Spawn, quite frankly.
Spawn.
It makes me sick. I'd rather learn about Beth Grant.
Who are you?
Jumping in. I love you jumping in, Nick. I think that's the best thing you can do with a podcast like this. I'm Zach. You might know me from being really bad at introductions. Mm. I'm joined, as always, by Mish Witrup, who you might know from...
being better at introductions, arguably.
Whoa.
And here's a worry, because I'm now about to introduce someone. You may know him as one half of the fantastic pop culture podcast, The Weekly Planet. He also ravages the bad films as in the wonderful Caravan of Courage over on YouTube. He's also a tram driver, and I knew him before he was in podcasts. And one time I was like, hey, my friend listens to your podcast, when it was already like the most popular podcast in Australia. And I think about that often. It's Nick Mason.
Yeah. Hey, guys. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here for a number of reasons. One, because I'm going to learn about Beth Grant, and that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I love it. I love a deep dive on a character actor. Mm-hmm. This is not the first deep dive character actor podcast I've been on, nor will it be the last.
No.
And three, I know that you guys have mentioned in the past that if you could do this particular piece of media every week, you would.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not because it's good, just because it's short.
Yes.
So. I'm very excited. It's mercifully short, which I'm very excited about.
Thank you for being here. I guess the first thing we want to ask you is what your relationship is with John Leguizamo. So I'm assuming, being a movie man...
I'm a movie man.
...that you're aware of the legs.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. Okay. I mean, he's not... I could understand if he sort of flew under the radar for a lot of people, but I think maybe... it might have been like Carlito's Way or something. Mm. He's in that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Super Mario Brothers, starring role.
Oh, primo legs.
He's a guy when he pops up in something that you're you're like, oh, people have said this is good, or like, oh, it's on Netflix or something, maybe I'll give it 5 minutes, and then he pops up and you're like, hey, this is okay, this is something, you know? Mm. It's like my equivalent might be like Bobby Cannavale. You know Bobby Cannavale?
Who's Bobby Cannavale?
Perfect.
You would know
choice.
Him from like he's like he's in that Nine Perfect Strangers show on Amazon Prime. He's in Ant-Man. He's the like Ant-Man's like rival dad. Like he's sort of vying for the affection of Ant-Man's family.
Oh,
but every time I see him, I'm like, it's Bobby Cannavale.
He's in Shall We Dance with Lopez and Richard
Correct.
Gere.
Yeah.
That's super. Oh, we've talked about Bobby
he's
Cannavale.
He's got mad.
Before.
He's got mad John Leguizamo energy. I think that's one of the like best direct points of comparison to John Leguizamo I've ever heard.
Like, well, apparently, he's just like, based on his filmography, he's in Chef.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think he's one of the other chefs.
Well, there you go.
Rival chef.
Well, there you go.
I love Bobby Cannavale. Also, like, could be a leading man. Could be a leading man in a world that's not so Leonardo DiCaprio-y.
Yeah.
Like, has that same, is he a character actor? Or is he a leading? Is he a leading man not getting the leading man parts he deserves?
Well, that's the thing. He probably could be a leading man, but I reckon he's probably just got like he's in no way a chunk. But I reckon he has a soft belly, and that's not allowed.
Very
that's
true.
That's what I reckon. I reckon Bobby Cannavale has a delicious little soft belly.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Good for cuddling, not so good for flexing.
More importantly, Nick, Beth Grant is.
Yes, thank you.
Have you seen Speed?
Yes.
She's on the bus.
She's the one she's the one that's like, get me off the bus. Oh my God, the bus is going too fast. That's my Beth Grant. Yeah. I haven't seen Speed in a little
while. That
was
good, okay.
Have you seen
her on the bus, okay.
She's the one that explodes. She tries to get off the bus and she explodes.
Yeah, okay, right.
Have you seen Tu Wong Fu?
Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. Yes. Oh my God, she's in. Okay, she's in a Leguizamo.
She is in a Leguizamo.
Oh,
that's how we became aware of her.
I just watched a TV series called Dollface, which is on Disney Plus with Kat Dennings, and she is a woman with a cat for a head.
Yes,
or she's got a cat head. She doesn't have a cat for a head.
Yes.
She's got a cat head. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's Beth Grant.
I'm well across Beth Grant. Okay. Great.
And
the reason I knew Beth Grant, Beth Grant was always in my like, oh, that person. She's the ultimate of the oh yeah, that person. And for me, where she lodged into my brain was the I doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion. In Donnie Darko, she's the crazy mother, and like she lodged in for there, and then we just had a run of legs films where Beth Grant was also in it, and so now we love Beth Grant here. And
is there a lot of like cross pollination? Do you see him interact a lot, or is it more like he's in one scene and she's in the next scene?
It's a lot more of that.
Like she's in. So for example, Dr. Doolittle, the Eddie Murphy Dr. Doolittle. John Leguizamo voices a rat. And Beth Grant crosses the road and checks to see if Eddie Murphy's okay.
You're right.
But so I wonder if at any point they saw each other in the halls of fucking the studio or whatever and were like, hey, do you remember me? I'm thinking probably not. But like
I reckon they do polite, like, oh, I think I yes, and then one of them's like, we were in Tu Wong Fu together. And
who
it's
do
like,
you think,
oh my
who
God.
Do you think is the person who does the hi, remember me out of John and Beth Grant?
I think it'll be John, but also I think they're banging on the side secretly.
Yeah, I love that.
I reckon
I
they
love
fuck
that so much.
If
John Leguizamo, if we find out that John Leguizamo and Beth Grant have had sex, I will lose my fucking mind.
Yeah, it's very unlikely, but I would
highly
lose my mind.
But it's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah.
You know,
she'd be like, John, I got a live action role on this movie in which you're playing the voice of a rat.
Yeah.
Just so I could, you know, get in on a production meeting and, you know, check you out, man.
Mm.
It's the thing about John Leguizamo is, you know, when you watch only one actor for this amount of in hindsight. Nick, we should have made this podcast a podcast celebrating all of these actors, and maybe we do four films, one actor a month, their four best films. But we've gone for the 3-year deep dive.
Yeah.
which is really fun until Ice Age 5.
You're not going to do, you couldn't do like the last three, smoosh them together, 3, 4, 5? You're committed to
I feel like our 4 listeners won't appreciate that.
You know?
Because we've committed to individual episodes for each Ice Age, and that includes the video games.
Terrific.
So we have, like, as much as I would love to smoosh, I cannot smoosh. We cannot smoosh. We have he did about 15 to 20 episodes of ER. Zach and I have chatted about smooshing a couple of episodes only because, like, I don't want to do 20 weeks of ER podcast with a 45 to 60 minute episode for each episode of ER. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in terms of Ice Age, absolutely not. Individual episodes.
And he's done so many, Nick. He's done so many films. I think he has over 150 credits and counting. He's making them faster than
We started this podcast at the end of 2019, or no, start of 2020 maybe. No, end of... No, yeah, start of 2020. Start
I've just been in this room for 2 years. I don't know when I started.
And since we started, he has made 12 things. So he's added to our list. It's fucked.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
He's racing.
You better hope he doesn't get into some sort of Nicolas Cage-style tax debt where he has to just keep making things to...
I think he's had a few of them. Like, the early 2000s, he hit the ground running. He hit the ground running in the early 2000s like someone who hit gold with Ice Age but had lived through post-Mario Brothers and Spawn. So he knew that well isn't always, you know, giving you oil.
You gotta make hay while the sun shines.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So he... hit those, like, from post Ice Age, he hit the 2000s so hard, Nick. And there is so many movies, because I don't mind the bad ones, because, you know, everyone's made bad movies and I love them, but the thing you learn about an actor in this sort of level, at this sort of level, is everything they do is no more than 3 weeks of shooting, and there's a lot of 3 weeks in a year, and there's a lot of years in a decade.
Yeah.
Well, you just kind of go, when do you say no, John? when something is put on your desk, when do you say, not this one?
Because I don't think he does it now.
Maybe, but between 2000 and 2014, I think he just said to his agent and his manager, yes to everything if you can fit me in. Like, if they can fit into my schedule, I will do anything.
Which
and
I love.
Yeah, I mean, popped.
I wouldn't. I absolutely. I mean, were I in the same position, I reckon I'd do that as well. I mean, you know, if it's 3 weeks and you get, you know, 10 minutes of screen time, if it's a bad if it's 10 minutes in a bad movie, people forget about it. If it's 10 minutes in like an unforgettable epic, people are like, oh my god, you see him, and then you get the 10 minutes in the thing, and you probably get to go to a nice location. Mm-hmm. You know, they fly you out somewhere. You know, and you're a tropical paradise or something, and it'd be great. I'd love it. Yeah.
We've literally encountered films of his like that where you go, he did this one for the experience and he did that one for the, because he did 2 Ice Ages in that window. So I think he was just up for a little trip to wherever they filmed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a wonderful career to watch. I would love to be in that position to be like, yeah I'll do that. When you got Ice Age money, you're chilling.
Oh, yeah.
But then he's also, like, just recently, like, I think, like, a week ago, announced that he's doing a musical. Like, he wrote a musical.
Well, a full musical.
Yeah, did you not see this?
Is this why you were asking him about what musical?
Yeah, and then
I
asked him what his favourite musical was other than his own, and he told me it was Hamilton.
Good choice.
Yeah, very good choice. Oh. Yeah, we talk, so John and I.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have a sort of pretty regular interaction.
By regular, if you mean that for every 5 very intricate questions that I spend about half an hour on, he answers with 1 to 3 word answers. Yes, it's fair, like that's
okay.
That we have all a pretty intricate, like him and Beth Grant. It's quite intimate.
Do you think he gets the notifications on his phone? Do you think
he's
making recording?
Well, he doesn't follow us. So,
okay, right.
Which is
right,
the
right.
next step? And I was going to ask him to, but then Zach said if he doesn't, That sucks for us. And also we don't want him to feel like he has to.
Yeah.
I want him to do it because he wants to.
Oh, my God. That day's coming soon. And oh, my God. And it's going to pop up and you're going to be like, is this some sort of John Leguizamo fan page? But it's going to have that little boutique.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh.
And he's on board.
Well, because our Instagram page, Nick, it follows three people. It follows at Zachary Ruane, it follows at Mish Witrup, and it follows at John Leguizamo. So that's all we follow. So, you know, it would be great if he just threw it back to us, but I get it. It's a little intense. It's a little intense.
Do you think the dynamic of the podcast might change if you got that follow? Do you think you'd be like, oh, we've got to really tighten this thing up. If he's following, he's listening. Mm. So we better be more professional, do more research.
If Zach and I were different people, absolutely.
Okay, right.
Nick, I would argue that we should have done that anyway for our listeners.
No, there's no. I mean, if you start thinking about quality. Content drops, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%.
If you're like, I gotta reach this mythical barrier of quality, this hurdle, I've gotta leap above it. You can't produce 3 to 4 videos a week or multiple podcasts. You know, just let the listeners decide what is worth listening to.
Exactly.
Let them tell you, and when they tell you by leaving in droves, you should change, but, you know, I'm joking. You're all here. We love you, listener.
The movie that we're technically here to talk about today.
Oh, we will. I'm really keen to talk about
Spawn. Oh, me too. Is a highly requested film.
It's
by our four to eight listeners.
Now, if I may, of the 4 to 8 listeners, what's your relationship to them? Is there a lot of emailing back and forth?
Oh, I try my best. If they DM, I say hello. Yeah, right. Every once in a while, John Leguizamo shares a post that we do on Instagram, and he's like, Leguizamo-rama, or ooh, me back in the day. And we'll get maybe 2 or 3 follows from John Leguizamo fans who promptly remove their follow after about 3 days. I try my best to get to answer the DMs that we get. But all of the 8, lovely people. Big Johnny
That's
Legs
great.
Fans.
That's what you want, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time.
We did screenings back. Remember screen. This will hopefully be coming out at such a time where Victoria is fully opened up. So I don't want to be too lockdowny. But back when when cinemas were open, like they are now as you listen, we did screenings. We did a little John Leguizamo mini marathon at the Lido Cinema.
Yeah.
And people came to that and people were really getting behind Johnny Legs. It was a beautiful thing to see.
A true highlight of my career.
And I'm really pushing right now. Me and Mish want to do another little marathon. And we thought, you know, and we're tossing up between a Kathy Bates or a Beth Grant marathon. Mm-hmm. The worry with Beth Grant is no one knows who she is.
We did throw out a Michael Shenanza for a while.
Michael Shenanza.
Okay, yeah, that would be good, yeah.
Or a Please Sir, Can I Have Some Julianne Moore?
People seem to really like the little mini marathons. They seem to enjoy the pod, and I feel like they're all particularly excited to hear us chat about Spawn.
That's great.
It's been
exciting.
A highly requested one from like day one, and I personally had never seen it, so I was so excited to buy it on Amazon Prime, so that we could chat about it.
Mish, do you want to do the intro and then let's just dig into Spawn? Let's get ourselves all a big serving of Spawn and dig into that delicious bowl of Spawn.
So oozy.
So oozy.
I did actually, I don't, is this a thing? I thought that the word spawn was semen.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think it kind of is in a way. No, Spawn is babies.
Yeah, your Spawn is like an offspring.
Yeah,
your children or something. But I always thought Spawn was like a cool guy way of saying jizz.
Yeah.
You know, like when the cool guys want to talk about cum.
That's what it, I mean, that's what it said. That was the subtitle, you know, on the first issue of the comic book. It said Spawn, and then there was Spawn very dramatically there. Yeah. And it was like, a cool guy's way of saying jizz. And a little smiley face, a little winky smiley face.
Because, Nick, I know.
And it was a hologram foil cover as well. So, yeah.
Just a little spudge. Just spudge. That was the original name as well.
Yeah.
Because he originally developed the character under the name. Little known fact is that McFarlane originally developed the character under the name of Spudge when he was at Marvel. And there was a bit of back and forth. They didn't want to do Spudge. So when he broke off, he redid it, but he unfortunately didn't have the rights to Spudge or Spoof. So he had to call him Spawn. Yeah. That's a true story.
And Jizz, that's interesting. Jizz doesn't have that hardcore action hero.
Well, it's already the DC Jizz enemy.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Yeah. You know. And interestingly, some years later, Marvel very conveniently created their own character, Baby Gravy. Who's a baby covered in gravy. And a lot of people have drawn a line between the two, but I think it's just a coincidence.
And I know I know there are a lot of rumors about the Baby Gravy popping up in the post-credit scene. But don't worry, we're not going to be talking about MCU Baby Gravy here. Yeah. No spoilers.
We won't be talking about Marvel's Baby Gravy until Baby Gravy 3 comes out when John Leguizamo voices Baby Gravy's uncle in Baby Gravy 3. All right, so I'm going to do the intro to Spawn, the cool guy's way of saying jizz. A superhero action fantasy released in 1997. Spawn, directed by Mark A.Z. Dippay, is the story of Al Simmons, a U.S. Marine colonel who wants to retire, but his boss, Martin Sheen, won't let him quit, which is totally illegal. Al Simmons could just call in HR and explain his conundrum, but instead performs one last mission for Martin Sheen. While doing this mission, Martin Sheen hires a murderer to kill him. Al ends up in hell, where he agrees to be an eternal servant for one of hell's rulers if it means he can go and spend a little bit more time with his fiancée, Wanda. Once he returns to Earth, he becomes Spawn, which is the name of the movie. Lol, lol, lol. This movie is beyond cooked. It has explosions, prosthetics, an underworld that looks like an industrial warehouse the day after a rave party. My dad has a penis, my mum has a vagina kid from Kindergarten Cop, random spurts of Marilyn Manson music, blue and green fire, and Jenny from Buffy. John Leguizamo plays Violator, an evil clown that is kind of like a funny sidekick, but also evil and fat and spits a lot and can turn into Wanda. It's brilliant voice work, as always.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Thanks.
Wow. That was a great bio, Mish.
I have been looking forward to... I love 90s trash movies. And I feel like there are, I'm particularly into the thrillers. We've talked about that lots on the pod. But any, 90s is for sure my favorite decade of cinema, I reckon.
Still, even after watching Spawn.
Yeah, truthfully. Because I would say Spawn is a classic, right? In the sense that it is so entertaining to watch. I will never watch it again. But I was so entertained because it's so cooked. It was in the oven for about 5 hours too long. This is burnt crispy and delicious. I pure entertainment, but I plan on never discussing it again after we finish this pod.
Nick, yeah, get it out of your system, I think, yeah.
You talk a bit about, you talk about a bit about, comic book movies and movies in your other spaces. Where does this fall in your world? as a big comic book film guy, where does Spawn fall?
I've been a big comic book guy and comic book movie guy for, as long as I can remember. So I would have seen this if not opening night, I would have seen this opening weekend when it came out.
Yeah.
I would have had, I had the comic book adaptation of the movie, which itself was an adaptation of the comic book. So I would have had the and that's two levels removed, so you know that's bad. I would have had this, I would have had the CD, the CD soundtrack, which I would have ripped to Winamp.
Yep.
And I would say, having watched this as a kid and watching it now, I've never felt like a bigger sense of cultural whiplash, in the sense of like, when I watched it as a kid, I'm like, this is awesome. This is incredible. It is, it's badass. Oh my God. This dude, he's got chains and he's got guns and he's got green fire and he's saying rude words and he's shooting guns and he's smashing through skylights. Oh my God. Like, there's been plenty of stuff as like as a kid, I watched a movie and then like I remember when I saw like the Matrix sequels, I remember as a kid, I'm like, you know, they kind of suck compared to the original kind of thing. And I've come back recently and I've gone, okay, you know, they have like, I still don't love them, but they have kind of hidden depths. But like, I watched Spawn and I'm like, I cannot believe I thought any aspect of this was objectively good at any point in my life. Like, it's just, it felt like if I'd never seen this before and you were like, here, watch this, if you'd given it to me on like a video CD or something and I watched it and you said, this was like an unreleased pilot for a TV show that never got picked up, I'd be like, yeah, of course it was. Like, it's filled with like TV stars of the era.
Yeah.
The special effects look like they haven't been finished.
Yes.
It's just
They do. They look like it was the first edit. It's like they got the animatics. Work experience kid. They were like, they asked the work experience kid, hey, you want to add a bit of fire to this alleyway? And then the work experience kid did and was like, what do you think of this? And they were like, all right, we'll use that.
It's like, it's almost like there's an energy of, you know, like before they show, it's like, just so you know, we'll make the devil's mouth move. When it's done, so don't let that distract you. We just want you to get a sense of the proportions, how it's all looking before we render it. Like, we just want to get your feedback now.
If I was some sort of cinema sommelier, I would say this, like the special effects have like, they have notes of like one of those old Sega CD games, like a Night Trap or something like that. Like one of those ones where you just click the button and then a monster would fall into a trap door or whatever.
Yeah.
There was notes of like, remember like in the 90s, but you guys probably too young to remember. But in the 90s, there were like Prodigy video clips. It'd be all like, like, yes, you know, exactly like, or like Here's Johnny by Hocus Pocus. It'd just be like, just some like weird random CGI screensaver stuff.
Mm.
That's like, what this even like, whole thing felt like.
There's even like a bordering on an element of like, this is even like Zork. I don't know if you remember Zork.
Yeah, I remember Zork.
What's Zork?
Zork was a very, very early video game, computer game, and it was originally text, and I think Return to Zork was the one where there was the first one with visuals, and the way they did it, I think they had real actors, but then because of the technology at the time, those real actors are no more real a set of pixels than the image they stand in front of. Like, it's like kind of got that energy of like these still images of a still pixel face. It had a bit of Return to Zork energy. I don't know.
I have to look up Return to Zork right now. What I found with this movie is, for a movie that I feel was very much targeted at like teenagers, really, it was such a complex story. Like, it wasn't simple at all. It, like, I don't know. I myself am not a comic book movie person. Like, I haven't seen a lot. I've only just started watching the Spider-Mans. My partner and I just finished Spider-Man 3. And I've watched the early Batmans, which I do really enjoy. But I'm
like
not,
the Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah, right.
And I've also watched Batman and Robin, which I also enjoy for similar reasons to Spawn.
I adore Batman and Robin, but let's not make this a Batman and Robin rant.
Oh, I could talk about Batman and Robin. I could have a podcast that goes for 3 years about Batman and Robin. Do not hold me to that.
I want to do a yearly Batman and Robin screening until it gets reappraised as the camp classic that it is. But anyway, enough about Batman and Robin. Back to Spawn.
It felt like the storyline was so complex, like, and really difficult to follow. And I'm not dumb. And I watch film and I enjoy film. And I didn't understand. I had to read so many awful reviews of this film, the wiki page a couple of times to kind of get my head around what was going on. Am I dumb or is that fair?
Could I posit that it's not that you're dumb, it's that you were asking more of the plot than it was giving? You're like, this and this and this, this has nothing to do with each other. It's so complicated, I don't know how they're connected, when in truth they weren't. Sometimes he had big guns and sometimes he had a magical cape. And
if you take out the guns and the magical cape, it's just a couple of dudes walking around, honestly, for like 97 minutes. But I think you're right in the sense that, like, there's a lot of dialogue that speaks to, like, it being more complicated than it is.
Yeah.
There's, like, there's a bit in it where, like, so Spawn has come back from hell to Earth and he's got a friend who I think is, like, a previous Spawn, and he's like, an old man
Who has a sword for a hand.
He's got a sword for a hand.
And a jaunty little hat.
That's exactly right. And he's giving Spawn all this sort of advice and train. Like, he's like the Yoda kind of character. I think that maybe they even call him Yoda at one point. And, like, at one point, Spawn's got all his guns, as you mentioned. And this other guy's like, now listen, Spawn, you've got to use your powers. You've got to figure out how to learn and use your powers correctly. But if you use your powers too much, you're going to die and you're going to go back to hell. So don't waste your powers. And then Spawn's like, well, I'm not going to be needing these. And he gives the guns back. And Cogliostro, the guy, is just like, now you're getting it. What are you talking about? You're not getting it. Keep the guns.
Keep the guns.
That's the point.
If you're going into battle or whatever,
keep the guns.
Keep your guns. You've got some big, they're expensive, big, powerful guns. You will win. Keep the guns. Absolute madness. I just feel like if they wanted to do a movie that was just blue and green fire, a couple of funny quips from a fat clown, and a lot of action and fighties and guns and stuff, just do that. You don't need to insert an overly okay, I saw Mortal Kombat last year. I think Mortal Kombat is brilliant because they just went, we just want a movie with a lot of fighting and just a lot of, like, you know, weird violence and flashy suits and, like, cool fighting karate moves.
Yeah.
Let's just put the most base concept on that and just make a movie about that. And that is why Mortal Kombat is in my top 50 entertaining films of all time.
Top 50 most entertaining films of all time.
Oh, top 50.
Now, can I ask, Mish, original Mortal Kombat or new Mortal Kombat?
New Mortal Kombat.
Whoa!
Have you seen Mortal Kombat?
Let me just very quickly, let me also just say that Mortal Kombat was the first movie I saw at the cinema after a very long lockdown.
Yeah, that might have been a factor.
My partner reckons it was.
I actually have very fond memories of the last movie I saw before we went into the last lockdown. Like, we went into that lockdown for months and months. The last movie I saw in cinemas before they were just a distant memory was the movie Bloodshot with Vin Diesel,
where he's
a man filled with magical blood and he keeps coming back to life. Yeah. And Guy Pearce is in it.
There was that point where where it was like, because this was so unprecedented, it was just like, oh wow, we're just going to have to talk about the January releases for a year.
The last movie I saw was, I think, about a week before we went into lockdown in March last year. And it was with a man with a satchel, and we went and saw The Invisible Man.
Oh, great film.
And great film, But it's all I could talk about for about 6 months. Did anyone manage to see it, The Invisible Man? And then like the few people like, oh, I did. So we'll chat about it then. Because, and it was at the drive-in cinemas. There you go.
Love a drive-in. I my big thing with Spawn, right, what I love about it, right, is it's is it there are like so many firsts in this film. Like there are so many things that like didn't happen again for another 15 years, right? And like sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's like, oh, that definitely should have stuck around. But there are other things where it's like, I'm trying to specifically with special effects, specifically with CGI, where it's like sometimes being ahead of your time is not a good thing, because sometimes being ahead of your time means the technology's not ready yet. And I feel like, you know how now there'll be like movies you'll watch Superman, like, you know, he never had a cape. The cape was CGI. And I imagine people saying that about Spawn then, like, do you know he never had a physical cape? And it's like, yes, I'm aware of that, because at one point the cape goes through Martin Sheen. Like, it just literally, it literally goes inside Martin Sheen, because they didn't, like, I don't know. Like, it's a very strange.
It clipped through him like he was a Skyrim character. Just right through it. Martin Sheen was Captain Willard in Apocalypse Now. And then a couple of decades later, he's in this wearing big shiny pants. Did you see him in his big shiny army pants?
Yes.
His pleather army pants? My God. And his sinister beard? Incredible. And his big slacks? He changes his army pants for big slacks later, and I'm all about it.
Oh, it's
and
so
a big
good.
Tuxedo.
I would love to know what it was like on set, because I think very famously on set for Mario Brothers, apparently Mario Brothers was like an awful filming experience, and like they would talk about it, like the things that Bob Hoskins would say about the directors were just horrific, and like they would joke about it and they would talk about it in real time, and you hear about that. And then with this film, it's like, because I'm pretty sure Todd McFarlane doesn't love it, does he? He's been trying to make a new one to kind of
he's tried to make a reboot since like 2008 or something like that. There's been a script on the boil, but maybe maybe it's the cape technology. Maybe now we've had a Doctor Strange. You know, there's been some Superman. There's been some great cape action recently. So maybe it's But I mean, he's got like Todd McFarlane has the money to just he could make a new Spawn movie every week.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he's got so much, like action figure money. Like, he could just churn out a bunch, and if one's good, you know, we'd forget all the other ones and it wouldn't matter to him.
I think that what's sad for Todd McFarlane in this particular case, even though he's rich, which I don't feel sorry for him for that, that's sick for him. But
I feel kind of sorry for him, actually, because I think it maybe makes him disconnected from the real people.
Maybe.
Actually.
Maybe.
I would
but
love to be
also
disconnected
this, how
from
much...
the real people.
Yeah, please.
Oh,
he wants
no.
to swap lives with me. I know so many real people.
Oh, I
Let's
struggle
swap.
To write relatable
Todd,
characters now. Anyway, I'm going to go cry into my very expensive tissues.
Tissues where I don't have to pick the ones on sale. That's the dream.
Oh, wow, he is worth a lot of money. Yeah. You're not wrong. I just Googled it and
how
everyone knows...
Is-
Well, everyone knows that Googling someone's net worth always comes up with a reliable result.
Yeah. Famously, just famously, Reese Nicholson, if you Google Reese Nicholson's net worth, it comes up as $17 million.
Whoa, I should have been nicer to him.
I know, I was like, fuck.
I think you can Google my net worth now.
Oh, wait, was that you maybe and not
no,
Reese?
No, Reese Nicholson, someone's no, his is a lot nicer. Mm. My net worth is in the scope of $100,000 to $1 million. And what I love about that is how can you shoot that wide of a net, $100,000 to $1 million, how can you shoot that wide of a net and still be too high? That's...
I really want to be able to Google my net worth. How does someone do that? Can someone do that for me?
Just put your net worth in some.
No, I mean lie. It's like, I mean, they're lying about everybody else's. Like, I just want to be able to Google Mish Witrup net worth and it to come up that I'm richer than I am, please. Thank you.
If you Google Mish Wittrup net worth right now, what comes up?
Let's have a look.
The first thing that comes up is Auntie Donna Wiki. Mish Wittrup is an Australian comedian, thank you, and has worked with Auntie Donna on numerous projects. That's fact. Someone got it right there. And it says that I'm the host of Mish and Zach's Legwizamarama with Zachary Ruane.
That's true. You are.
That's very true.
Yeah. Co-host, technically. Yeah. But anyway, I'm not going to make a big deal out of that.
My point was before. Well, sorry, go.
No, I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. Looking at his net worth, even if this is off by a substantial amount, he could literally just make a Spawn movie. Mm. And I think there's all the ingredients. I haven't read Spawn, but all the ingredients are fantastic. Mm. Like, everything about that character is great, I think. It's, you know, it's RoboCop with hell. And I'm like, give me that. That's a fantastic movie. Just this movie is a little wackadoo.
I felt for it because it very much had a feeling that Todd McFarlane really thought he was onto something with this movie. Do you know what I mean? It has that feel of like, this movie's fucking sick. And then like,
You know what I mean? Held on to that for like 20 years.
Yeah,
so.
I've aced it, mate. Like, this movie's fucking sick. And then it's like, oh, it's not Butt Todd. Like, it's a bit shit, eh? Like, you did it about 10 years too soon, mate. Like,
That's not Todd's fault. That's the people at Columbia's fault. I don't know whose fault it is. I also love the opening so much, though. I do just want to say I love the opening. The opening is just like a hyper Lord of the Rings opening. It's just like it sets up the universe, but also to like serves to make it more confusing. It's just well, some people go to hell when they die, but there's many of us, and this one is like this guy, and I'm also one of them, and this is, now let's go to a little bit of scene, and then like there's like this action scene, and then it's like goes back into it. It's like, get ready for Spawn. It's like so...
Did you know that Michael Jai White, who plays Spawn in this, he's like a 10th Dan black belt in karate. Like, he's like the... upper echelon. Like,
what else has he done?
He was Black Dynamite in the movie Black Dynamite. I don't know if you remember that one. It's like a blaxploitation parody. He's actually been a Jax, like a Mortal Kombat Jax in like a web series situation.
Sick.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's very good, but he does, like, they gave him two big spin kicks. That's all he gets.
That's
in
all
this
he got.
Movie. Yeah, just two big spin kicks, and the rest is just him putting on a big rubber suit and shoving people.
It's like getting the best dancer in the world and not getting a choreographer. Like, it's like, you know.
Do you know what this movie fucking aced, though? It was the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's so good. It had, like, Silverchair and Marilyn Manson. It was fucking very cool 90s soundtrack.
Can I say? Go.
Well, I was going to say it's a soundtrack they don't do anymore, which is like they got it was all for the movie, and it was like all these collaborations. Mm. Like, it was like Filter and the Crystal Method, all these, and like Metallica and DJ Spooky, and all these like weird combinations. And nobody really puts that care and attention into her. Like, you know, it's just a billion pop songs now. It's just like, you know, just real on the nose stuff. But
I think I heard somewhere once about Spider-Man, possibly. I think it was one of the Spider-Mans where, because that's a Sony film, so they just did a screening at Sony Records where they just invited all the musicians along. It might not have been Spider-Man, but it was something like that, where they all sat down. So it was just like a room full of all these musicians of any genre. They just shared a label, and they were like, so, there's the movie. Anyone got any songs? And, like, that's how they did.
Really?
I can't remember which film it was exactly, though, but it's that, like, that definitely can be an energy now. It's just, like, there's not that kind of attention to, God, 90s did good, like, music from and inspired by. Peaked in the 90s.
Fuck yeah.
I love the music. Anyway, go, Mish.
On Johnny Legs in this role, fun fact, this clown, this fat clown, is 4 foot tall, so he had to spend the entire time squatting. It took 2.5 hours to get his makeup and prosthetics and fat suit on, and on one occasion he wet himself because they couldn't get the suit off quick enough, so he pissed his panties.
Yeah. That's great.
There's just also a couple of fun little bits of trivia for you if they ever ask that down the pub on a Thursday night, trivia night. John Leguizamo wet his pants because he couldn't get the fat suit off.
That's so sad for John Leguizamo.
Yeah, but he's talked about it, I think, quite openly how he peed his pants.
Oh my God, what a weird connection.
I'm so, so sorry. I'm so sorry. Weird connection. The last time I peed my pants, I was 4. It was in a sand box and I had to change my undies at childcare or whatever. And the undies I had to change into were Spider-Man underpants.
That is a connection.
That's a connection, Beth, for sure.
Thank you.
That's very much a connection.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Zach. Please continue.
No, it's fine. That's a better connection than mine. I was just going to talk about this genre of film. I think you pissing your pants and getting Spider-Man undies is much more relevant.
I did. When I was in America, we moved to America when I was 4 and we lived there for 1.5 years. And I went to childcare and I was so nervous because I didn't know anybody and I didn't know where anything was and I needed to go to the toilet. And rather than ask someone where the toilet was, I went and peed in the sandpit. And then one of the childcare workers saw me and was like, "Did you just pee in the sandpit?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. I didn't know where the toilets were." She's like, "Next time you just need to ask." And I was like, "That's fair." And then she's like, "It's okay, we've got some spare undies." And she gave me Spider-Man undies. And when my mum came to pick me up, she was like, "Michelle had a bit of an accident in the sandpit, but it's okay, she's got some clean undies on now." And I've just, I remember it being the last time I wet myself because it was traumatizing. And I remember the Spider-Man panties.
Mish, what I love about that story is like how, yes, it is very linked to John Leguizamo pissing his pants in his prosthetic clown outfit while filming the movie Spawn, but it's linked kind of in a way. Do you remember the movie Pan's Labyrinth? It's one of my favorites.
One of my favorites. That's in my top 10.
And one thing that's great about Pan's Labyrinth is when there's these like links, it's like the fantasy and the realism elements kind of fit together, like that fantasy fits in with the horrors of war, but it's never like in a way that really makes sense. I feel like by you putting your story about pissing your pants and getting Spider-Man panties next to this story about John Leguizamo, we start to draw out themes in both of those stories, though I wouldn't say they're very connected.
Tell that story. I had a story to tell and I wanted to share.
It's a good story. That's what I'm saying.
Emotionally. Yeah, I thought it was great. I think if you ran them in parallel on a screen and you had some stirring music behind it, I think people would come out of the screening and be like,
yeah, that meant something,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the reviews would say things like the dual narratives don't lead to easy solutions or something. You know, they'd go, and that would be a good thing. They'd be like, it's not obvious. Yes, they're both about pissing pants. Yes, they both feature properties that Todd McFarlane has been involved
in. Yeah, that's exactly
right.
But other
than that, there's not a huge amount. But there's a truth in both of those stories.
How much more do you want? Would you prefer it if I was on set?
No.
Maybe the set of like a play.
Okay. Yes.
Like, so it's like there's a movie and then you're a play, so it's kind of like youth and age or something would work, I think.
Yeah.
And I think also what are we good for nowadays is the week that came out, there'd be like 100 clickbait articles where they would ask Todd McFarlane what he thinks about it. And it'd be like, Todd McFarlane finally speaks out about the pissing pants thing situation. And you'd click and you'd be like, what does Todd McFarlane have to say? And he'd be like, I didn't see it. I'm too busy designing Spawn toys. I don't have time for whatever this is.
I do love when Scarlett Johansson was suing Disney for a bit, the amount of like Paul Bettany speaks up and it's just clearly he was at a premiere and he was like, yeah, it's tough, hey. Anyway, bye. Yeah, that's super complicated. Anyway, I'm off. And then like, Paul Bettany finally speaks up, saying the situation is complicated. Yeah, he said, it's super complicated, hey. No, well, what I was going to say was I have a very vivid memory of this film as well, very similar to yours, Nick, where I really, really wanted to watch it when it came out at the movies. I was so excited because I have a very, very deep love of like what I would call like the night city genre. Like mostly they're comic book adaptations, but there's like this dark nighttime city genre, often with like the metal kind of soundtracks. Like,
yeah,
like,
right.
I love that genre. Like, you know, Batman is in it. This is in it.
Dark City?
Dark City. I love Dark City. I've rewatched that recently. That's one that holds up. Oh, fuck, oh, yeah. Dark City's good. And I love that genre. And I remember this movie being like, well, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, right.
And then I couldn't watch it. Like, I was like, I couldn't watch it at the movies. And then I think there was I never got to watch it. And then when I finally watched it, I was just a little too, just like, I was still young, but I was just a little too old, and I struggled to understand why my favorite actor, or one of my favorite actors at the time, was in a fat suit talking about skid marks on his underpants. And yeah. I was just like, where does he fall? This is more silly than I was expecting.
This is less of a film noir than I thought it would be.
This isn't quite The Crow as much as it is a bit of a video game hell, and now there's a man talking about poop in his undies.
But did you enjoy watching it?
Then?
Now.
Now? I think I enjoyed it more now than I did then.
Same. I would have. I think when I was 21, I would have hated this movie.
Yeah.
Hated this movie. I think if I was 10, me being me at 10 probably also would have hated this movie. But now at 33, love it. Love this. I genuinely thoroughly entertained. Again, like I mentioned at the start, I would never watch it again. It's awful. But I found it so entertaining, and it's like anyone who wants to watch it who hasn't seen it, I would tell them to. 100% I would.
100%. And I think as well for me, it's like, this is such an early example of comic book film. Mm. And it's like, when you think about it, it predates Blade, it predates X-Men, it predates Nolan's Batman, like it predates Spider-Man. Like the only thing it came after that I can think of is Superman and Batman. And it's doing stuff that those films didn't do, that other people worked out.
Yeah.
And it has to be given some credit for that. And I think as well, I was thinking about it, I'm like, if you came in and just like literally like someone with like special effects technology now spent a couple of weeks just cleaning it up.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that it, like, some of the visuals would be stunning if the effects were up to par. Maybe I'm being too kind, but I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be. And I'm so sorry you went on the opposite journey, Nick.
Yeah, what did you think, Nick?
I mean, look, I mean, individual elements I think were I feel sad that, like, again, like Michael J. White didn't have anything to do besides like two spin kicks and a bunch of scowls and just being like, what's going on or whatever.
Falling on the floor.
Yeah.
He was face down on the floor a lot in this film.
Yeah, but I did like, again, like, you know, I you're right, like a lot of this, like a lot of the special effects, while bad, were pioneering, like, they're, like you wouldn't, like, you know, to this point, and I guess we'd had like, like Batman and like Ninja Turtles and
Ninja
like a couple of other things.
Is a great, but the
like,
Crow is a great
more, yeah, like, but like this, all this sort of stuff, it's like, it's more, because it's New Line Cinema, it's like more like horror stuff. It's like the first time like you might see like, you know, like killer razor sharp chains in like a Nightmare on Elm Street movie or something like that. But like this was the first time they went like, yeah, superheroes don't have to be like Superman and everything's lovely and he's flying and isn't that magical. It can be like weird and gross. So that's fun. And John Leguizamo is I love John Leguizamo and Martin Sheen just chewing scenery.
Yes. I love people that are like, oh, I see what this is. Mm. I'll have fun. Yeah. I'm all for people doing that.
Well, and I think that I think very much what you just said that Martin and John got it. So like, I get this. This makes sense.
But you're not wrong about, I just say that one thing, you're really not wrong about, I thought, I couldn't place it, but there was something about like, they didn't know how superheroes moved in movies yet. That was my big thing that I realized is like, they didn't know, like they had him in his suit, they had the cape, that it was getting closer to what they would find. It was one of the, but he was just standing there with guns half the time. Like they didn't know how, like the movement of a superhero. I think they needed the Matrix, and then they needed Spider-Man to kind of go, they move a bit like this.
I think there's a few shots in it where he's just kind of standing there, and I think they were like, well, this is the cover of Spawn issue 10 or whatever, and it's like very dramatic kind of thing. But then where do you go from there? Like how does the character move beyond that? And you're right, they didn't kind of figure that out. And again, like Mish, you said, he spends a lot of the time like a turtle on his back.
Yeah.
Just kind of, he's too heavy. His center of gravity is weird because of the rubber suit and he's just sort of waddling. Now, I had a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to you, Zach. I don't know if you picked up on it earlier. Evidently, in between it being released theatrically and now, somebody with some power in the production company or whatever has sort of, they watched this and they went, some of the dialogue is a bit crook actually in this in this movie. We should fix that. And what they did is they redubbed the audio for some of the dialogue, but they didn't tell the caption company. So like,
wow.
I watch most things with like captions on because I love to read. I'm a big reader.
Yeah.
It's my first love is reading. And my second love is cinema, so I want to combine the two. But, like, so I'm watching this movie and, like, Spawn saying something and then... There's just hidden crook subtitles. I've got some examples, but I feel bad. Like, one of them especially, I feel bad about saying in real life. So...
How do you do that? Yeah, how do you do that in this
all
day
right,
and age?
Well, look, there's... Look, I'll put it in. Maybe we can.
I mean,
there was
a line where the clown said, "You pansy bacon crisp."
Yeah,
that was pretty. That's pretty bad.
Well, there's one where the clown tells Martin Sheen's character in the movie, like the audio, he says, "Grow up, you sniveling ninny," but the caption said, "Grow up, you syphilitic ball sack." That's in there. And there's one bit where like there's a bit of shoving and Spawn shoves the clown, and in the version I watched he said, "Get away from me, you foul smelling maggot." But in the
not maggot,
it is going where you think it's going to go, but not in the way you think it's going to go. He says, "Get off me, you foul smelling maggot." But then the caption says, "Get off me, you fudge packing midget."
Oh my lord!
Oh my god!
Oh and my lord!
They changed the order. They redubbed the. And I don't remember. Like maybe they changed it by the time it came to Australia. I don't remember any dialogue from when I watched it as a kid. But like,
I still remember. And this, I think, this should be the last sort of thing, and then we should find out our Leguistamos. But I still remember. I watched The Matrix once on an aeroplane on Etihad, and they had. And I know that movie very, very well. That's one of those ones I watched a million times when I was 12. So I know every line. And I was so thrown because I'm half asleep on a plane and I'm like, something's not hitting. And I was like, it's because this, exactly what you're talking about, this is like the aeroplane-friendly version. This is the... So like there's these iconic lines that I'm like building up to and then I'm watching it and it's like... Gosh darn it, Cypher! And like, He's like got these famous iconic lines that like I knew, and it was the same tension where it was subtitles to words, but this was like my own knowledge of the film waiting for the goddamn it cipher and hearing gosh darn it cipher. And also, gosh darn it is not when you what you say to someone that's killing all your friends.
Gosh darn it.
That's amazing because I watched it with subtitles on your recommendation, and I just missed that stuff. Like I think I was like checking occasionally, and I missed those moments. But that's spectacular. That's such a great.
Yeah, that's
tension.
Incredible, Nick. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now everybody else can go do it. Now spend $4.99 and watch Spawn and turn the subtitles
like I said,
on.
100%. You should definitely watch it at least once in your life. And from what it sounds like, you should watch it with subtitles. We do this little thing at the end of each episode of Leguizamarama where we give our Leguistamo rating. It is not
absolutely
based on what we think of the movie. It's based on how Leguizamo-y the film was.
Ooh,
Zach, do you want to go first?
This is a tough one. This is such a tough one to give a Leguistamo to because he's doing a lot. He has a lot of freedom. Mm. He's having lots of fun. But also I think this was, you know, not a well-received movie critically. And he's under piles of makeup, but he's top billed. He's top billed, but yeah, like most people don't know he's in it because he's under piles of makeup. So it's so hard to know exactly where it falls. And we're at the moment talking about like what this age of his career was, Nick, and we'll talk about that later. I think I have to give it a 4 Leguistamos though, because you know, it's no Luigi in the Mario Brothers, but he's really in it and he's really having fun. He's as off as it is and as weird as the character is, he's kind of the Jack Sparrow or the Han Solo in his way.
Yeah.
And that's the best part for a John Leguizamo. Let someone else take the weight and just have fun.
Couldn't agree more.
Maybe not in a big, weird clown fat suit, but it's iconic. I love that that clown. Yeah, I'm giving it 4 Leguistamos.
I'm going to give it 4.5 Leguistamos for everything that you just said, but I'm a nicer person. Nick.
I'm going to give it 4 Leguistamos. Mm-hmm. It's not a good movie, but that doesn't count, as you mentioned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like, imagine this character being performed by anybody else. Fuck, and you'd be like, this is awful and I hate it. I hate all these little lines and I hate all these little jokes and I don't want to watch this anymore. But Leguizamo, I'm like, this is pretty fun.
Yeah.
This is pretty fun stuff.
He has a lot of fun with it. You're not wrong.
Good. And he changes
imagine
his
Dane
voice completely.
Cook in that part.
I've loved John Leguizamo for years and years and years and years and years, since Tu Wong Fu. And it wasn't until we decided to do this podcast that I realized he was the clown from Spawn. It's pretty incredible, the voice transformation, as well as the 2.5-hour fat suit and makeup, obviously. But
and the pissing.
And the pissing
and
himself.
The pissing, yeah.
Which is, it seems very un-Leguizamo to piss your pants, but whatever. I'm glad he can admit it. Great, beautiful Leguistamo scores across the board for Spawn. Nick, thank you so much for coming to do our podcast.
What a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed it. If you fancy gaining, you know, maybe 2 or 3 followers, where can people find you?
I am on a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we pretty much talk about this sort of stuff every week.
With a fair degree more focus and
professionalism.
Well, depends on the week.
They talk less about pissing your pants.
Well, you know, lockdown's been hard on all of us and we are struggling for content.
Yeah.
So maybe one week
we'll do like
top 10.
Feel free to take my story and bring it into your next episode. Hey, you know, I met this girl, Mish. She pissed her pants when she was 4. Did you tell them?
We're putting it in the top 10 pissing your pants scenes in movies or real life. We just put them all together.
That's amazing. Anything else? Anything else you want to tell us?
Also, I do that with my friend James, and James has a YouTube channel called Mr. Sunday Movies, and I often appear on that. And we do silly back and forths, and we watch a movie such as a Spawn, and we hate it. We hate it every week.
Perfect.
We hate doing them. We hate watching them.
So good.
makes me sad.
It's so funny.
It's so very funny.
It's just like, oh, beautiful.
No, we really appreciate you coming, Nick. Thank you. It was really awesome to chat about Spawn with somebody who knows a bit more about comic book movies than me. We've started telling Tom to put music at the end of each episode now quite regularly. Do you have a request? Tom's our sound guy. He edits
for us. I know Tom from
So at the end of the episode, you know, what was an appropriate amount for him to do considering how little we pay him was to just put the theme tune back on, and the theme tune would just like come back in and wrap up the episode. So like that's the end of the episode. But for some reason, somewhere along the line, we've started making him source music, sometimes create music.
Well, but it may be some sort of carnival sort of clown theme.
I love that. Some sort of
merry-go-round.
I wanted to end with a creepy clown laugh.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, that's really good. I think he's going to tell us to stop.
He's gonna call a meeting.
I hope I'm not overstepping, but this is taking me hours to do, and it's the end of a long podcast. No one listens to all the podcasts, so stop making me do this.
I have very clearly put more effort into this music than you have the intervening hour of the podcast. I can't just spin my wheels and come up with a beautiful piece of music. I can't do it.
If that's the case, Tom, feel free to have that chat with us after you've done this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you bloody next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.